Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now on Masechet Bechorot Daf Yod Gimel Amud Aleph, about to begin our study of the second parak of Masechet Bechorot with the first Mishnah. As we have completed the first parak and the main issues dealing with Petach Hamor, we move now on to Bechor Behemat Tehora. The Gemara immediately will address the reason for that sequencing, but first the Mishnah, which should sound very familiar. Halokeach ubar parato shel goy. If you buy embryo of a calf of a non-Jew, meaning it's about to give birth, v'hamocherlo, or if you sell that embryo to him, al pishen rishai, as we said in the first parak, the isur against selling behemagasa to non-Jews, v'hamishtateflo, or you become partners in owning it, amkabel menu, or you receive it, meaning you agree to take care of it for pay, or the opposite, you hire him to take care of it, patur min habechora. In any case, this animal is patur min habechora, shenemar be Yisrael. That means it has to be fully owned by Yisrael, avalo ba'achirim. Now, ha-kohanim v'alvim chayavim, unlike Petach Hamor, kohanim and levim are obligated to make sure that their firstborn animals are consecrated and treated like a bechor. Shalom if truman bechor behemat tahora el pidyon haben u'petach hamor. The only thing that they're exempted from is pidyon haben, as we've said several times, and petach hamor, as we saw in the first parak. Okay, the first question, as I mentioned, is one of sequence. My irya detani ubar chamoro bereisha. Why did the Mishnah first pick ubar chamoro? Paratani ubar parato. And here's an argument for the opposite order. Litni bereisha ubar parato. They should have done the cow first. The kedushat agufu, because that has inherent sanctity. V'hara litni ubar chamoro, and then teach about the chamor. The kedushat damim, because that's merely a financial debt. So Amri b'marava in Eretz Yisrael, they gave two answers. The Tana was very fond of Petach Hamor, k'de Rabbi Chanina. Because Rabbi Chanina's drasha, that the reason that the Chamorim were singled out is because they helped us when we left Egypt. So that would be one reason. That the laws concerning a Petach Hamor are very small, so they wanted to dispense with them and then move on to the far weightier issues of Bechor Behemat Tehorah. Okay. Amar Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Amar Rish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Oshaya. So we have this member of Rabbi Oshaya. Yisrael shenatan ma'ot legoy bivehemto bedinehem, and that's the pregnant word here. Afa pishalom mashach kanav achever bibchora. So if a Jew gave money to a non-Jew, did not yet take possession of the animal, and then the animal gave birth, that it is a, if they, that's a firstborn, it's a boy, then chayev bibchora, it's now owned by a Jew. Vegoy shenatan ma'ot liyisrael bivehemto bedinehem. We're going to have to see what the word dinehem means here in both cases. Afa pishalom mashach kanav. So if a goy gave the Jew the money, even though the goy did not yet take possession of the animal, it is his, and if it then gives birth, patur min habechora. It's exempt, it's owned by a goy. Now, Amar, let's look at this. Yisrael shenatan ma'od legoy b'dinehem. Avish lo mashach kanav achev b'chora. My b'dinehem, what does the word b'dinehem mean? Inema b'dinehem degufei. If you're reading the word din, like a logical conclusion, v'alo dinhu, then that means that you're learning a logical conclusion from a kal v'chomer, from the body of the non-Jew. Da'ati b'kal v'chomer. Here we go. Im gufei kani le'yisrael b'kesef. A Jew can buy the non-Jew b'kesef. He's an Eved Kanani. Tichtiv la'reshet achuza, in the context of Eved Kanani. They're called la'reshet achuza, a holding, an estate. Hekishor katuv la'achuza. And this is a sugyan kiddushin, and we learned that Eved Kanani can be purchased because of shtar v'chazaka, just like karka. So Eved Kanani nikna b'kesef. So you're going to say, aha, since his self can be bought b'kesef, b'dinehem, meaning kal v'chomer, his property can be bought b'kesef. Mamonolo kol shekein hu. So the answer to that is imken afil b'shtar v'chazaka nami. Then you should be able to buy his property with shtar v'chazaka. Nobody suggests such a thing. Is metaltalin v'od Yisrael mi Yisrael yichichu, and we can disprove that kal v'chomer from the relationship between two Jews. The gufe kani levi kesef, a Jew could buy another Jew of a divri b'kesef, mamono, but he can't buy his property b'mashicha. He needs to take possession of it, and kesef is not enough. Whether that's all right to do Rabbanan, we're going to see very soon. Ela amar Abaye, so Abaye interprets the dinehem means something a little different. Dinehem shpaskalam Torah means the law that the Torah set up for them, which is, in the beginning of Parshat Bahar, it talks about kano miyara mitecha, if you buy something or sell something to your fellow, to another Jew. And it uses the word yad, miyada mitachud mishicha, meaning only from another Jew or to another Jew, it's with possession. Hamiyado v'goy bekesef. So that means that if you buy something to, if, from, or sell something to a non-Jew, it's only bekesef. Mishicha is a unique kinyan for just intra-Jewish commerce. Ve'ima miyad goy klal klalo. So why don't you just say the Torah provided for commerce between Jews, and there is no provision for commerce with non-Jews? So amilo sakadaitach. You can't say that. Why? Kavachomerhu. Im gufo kone. If you can acquire him, mamonolo koshikin, you could certainly acquire his property. Now, beforehand, that kal v'chomer didn't work because we were trying to use that kal v'chomer for the specific kind of kinyan, and that got blasted. But this kal v'chomer is valid and is going to remain because, after all, when you acquire him, you also acquire his mamon. So, certainly, if you can acquire him, you could acquire his mamon. So, we leave that. Ve'ema miyad goy adi ikatarte. Maybe when you buy from a non-Jew, you need to do both, mishicha and kesef. So Amri v'lav kalvachomer, it's the same problem. Gufo b'achat, you could acquire him with one kinyan. Mamono b'shtayim, you need two to acquire his money. Doesn't make sense. Same problem. When you acquire him, you get his money anyways. Ve'ima obaha obaha. So maybe with a Jew, it's only mashicha. With a goy, you have a choice, kesef or mashicha. The answer is dumya d'amitecha. The way we understand it is the Torah set up a parallel system. There's amitecha and there's everybody else. Ma amitecha b'chada, just like with your fellow, you get it for one. There's one kinyan, which is mashicha. Af goy nam b'chad, a goy only also has one. Kesef. Okay, so that solves the first half of the maimra. Amar, and now the second half of the maimra. Goy shenatan ma'od l'yisrael b'mhemto b'dinehen. Again, the same phrase. Av b'shalom mashach kanam patur b'nam b'chora. Now, my b'dinehen, they ask the same question, and of course we have to come to the same conclusion, but we're going to take a slightly different route. Ilem b'dinehen de gufei, if you think it means a kal v'chomer from their body. What does that mean? Mishum da'at b'kal v'chomer, im gufo kani le'yisrael b'kesef, meaning if he can acquire a Jew, b'kesef. After all, the non-Jew here is giving money to the Jew for the animal, but if the non-Jew were to buy the Yisrael for kesef, which he could do, then we have to help redeem the Jew from his slavery to the non-Jew by paying for the money that he was bought with. Kesef miknato means he could have been bought b'kesef. So therefore, if the goy can buy the Jew's body b'kesef, he can certainly buy his property b'kesef. The answer to that is, as we had before, Yisrael Yisrael Yochichu, that the intra-Jewish kinyanim can disprove that. To gufo kani b'kesef, a Jew could buy another Jew, Eved Ivri b'kesef. Mamono b'mashicha, he still needs mashicha for his property. So that relationship doesn't hold. Ela Amar Abaye, so Abaye says the same thing that we said before. B'dinehem shepaskalahem Torah. And what's that? B'chitim krumim kar la'amitecha. If you sell something to your fellow, meaning la'amitecha b'mashicha, halagoy b'kesef. If you sell something to another Jew, it's b'mashicha. But to a goy, it's b'kesef. Okay? Ve'ema legoy klal klalo. So now we're going to just play the same thing in the opposite direction, which is maybe you cannot sell anything to a non-Jew. Amilav kal v'chomer, who think about this? Im gufo kanam mono l'kol shekein. And this could be read both ways. If he's able to buy us, he could certainly buy our property. Or if we're able to buy him, he could certainly buy our property. I mean, commerce works. So ema legoy ad ikatarti. So again, maybe he needs both. It's just an inverse of the previous piece. Av kal v'chomer, who gufo be'echad mamono b'shtayim. If you could buy his body, or he could buy your body, with one kinyan, why would he need two for mamon? Ve'ema obaha obaha. So again, maybe there's a choice. He could take either kinyan. The answer is dumya d'amitecha. It has to be similar to amitecha, the parallel course. Ma'amitecha b'achat, af goy nami b'achat. Just like the Jew has the only one kinyan, yeshicha, so the goy only has one, only one kinyan is needed, and only one is sufficient, and that is kesef. Okay, that concludes our treatment right now, till this point, of the Meimor of Abishaya. We have a side point here, which is Amemar. Amri Ula Amemar da Amar Meshicha Begoy Koneh. Amemar disagrees and says that a goy's Meshicha is valid. Now let's see how that'll play out. And this is a side point. Hanecha Yisav Alak Rabbi Yochanan. We have an essential machloka between Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says that the essential kinyan from the Torah is Kesef. But the rabbis made a decree that kesef is not good enough because you may give money for something, and then it turns out the thing's been destroyed in the meantime, and you never got a chance to even watch it properly, or keep it carefully. And therefore, we say that until you take possession, the item is not yours. So now, if Rab Meimor would agree with Rabbi Yochanan that midoraita ma'ot is the essential kinyan, meshicha lo, meshicha is a rabbinic construct. Ahanin la'amitecha, we understand what la'amitecha is. Lamitacha bekesef legoy mashicha, which means Lamitacha is the essential kinyan of the Torah, and a goy has the kinyan of mashicha, and that's why Memar said that's the way it goes. But if we take Resh Lakish at his word, which is that the phrase Okanomi Adamitacha is an explicit mention of Meshicha from the hand of your fellow, then La Mitacha be Meshicha ulagoy Meshicha, then what's La Mitacha, which excludes non Jews from Meshicha? But he says a non-Jew could do Meshicha anyways. Then why does the Torah say if you do Meshicha with your fellow, if you could do Meshicha with anybody? So they answered in this way: Amri lamitacha tamachzir ona avi, tamachzir ona alachnani. We have to remember the context of the pasuk about mashicha, and that is kanomi adamitacha o mimkar lamitacha al tonu ishtachiv. That's why I separated them a little bit on the page. That there is an isur of ona, of overcharging or undercharging, etc., by a sixth, by more than a sixth of ona'a. And in case the ona'a is exactly 1/6, the ona'a has to be returned. If it's more, then the entire deal falls apart. So lamitacha is there to say that the rest of the pasuk, which is ona, does not apply to non-Jews. And therefore, ona does not go back. Now, liknani mi'al toni shtachiv nafka. We have that from another pasuk in Parshat Bahar that says you're not allowed to practice ona against your brother, meaning another Jew. So the answer is chad b'knani v'chad b'hektish. The answer they give is that the Torah excludes two different groups, which seem to us to be almost opposite groups, which is hektish, when you're redeeming something from the mikdash, and a non-Jew from ona. And therefore I need two phrases, meit mi'ara mitecha and ishet achiv. Now, ha'nech... Why do I need them both? If the Torah only wrote one of them, my first assumption would be, yeah, that's referring to a non-Jew. There's no no with a non-Jew. Well, hektish, if I'm redeeming something from hektish, yesh to no, no still applies. So Kamash Plan needed twice to tell me the second candidate, which is hektish, is also out. However, that is only meaningful if I accept the premise that stealing from a non-Jew is asur. Right? Therefore, I need a pasuk to say, but ona is not. But if you say the gzela is not an isur with a non-Jew, then ona may buy. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that I can keep the ona. That's obvious. So Amri, so they put together the solution of Beit Midrash. If a Meimar would hold that gzelo mutar, which means there is no need for the word amitacha to tell me that ona'a doesn't apply to non-Jews, that he must hold, like Rabbi Yochanan, that the essential kinyan is kesef, and therefore amitecha excludes the goy from kesef, and therefore amitecha is there to say he only has mishicha, because that's his position in the halacha. Okay, now we go back to the memra of Rabbi Shaya, and we challenge it. Let's say that you bought a bunch of shards from a non-Jew. We have the son of Orozar Matzah, Bahan Avodar Kochavim. You found some idolatrous pieces in the shards. Im ad shalonatan ma'ot mashach. If you took possession and you didn't yet give the money, yachzir. You could just give it back. Mishenatan ma'ot mashach. But if you, after you gave the money, then you took possession, you'll yichonala Yom HaMelech. You have to take whatever value there is in there of Avodazar and destroy it, throw it Yom HaMelech, and make sure it's destroyed. Now, that means that in the first case, you're not considered to have possession. You could just give it back. In the second case, it's considered to be yours, and you have to get rid of it. Now, v'yamart ma'ot konot. So if you hold that in the case of a non-Jew, ma'ot konot, then mashicha lamali, then why is taking possession at all mentioned in this brayta? It's a tosefta of Avodah Zarah. Why is it mentioned at all? The answer is achamaskin, and she gave Allah v'adum b'dinei Yisrael. The fellow said, the non-Jew said, I'll do it by your rules. I'll follow your rules, which are Mashiach or whatever. So, Yachal Ma'od Lamali, then why does the money play a role in here? Because both are mentioned. The answer is, this is what it means. Even though he already gave Ma'ot, im Mashiach, in v'ilolo, only if he took Mashiach is it valid. Then the first clause doesn't make any sense. Because in the first clause we said that if he did not yet give money, but he took Mashiach, he can give it back. So according to what you just said, he should be stuck with it because the guy had agreed to do it according to Dinei Yisrael, and therefore Mashiach should be the end of the road. So we answered as follows. Amar Abaye, Reisha Mishum De'ika Mekachtot. In the Reisha, there's a Mekachtot, because the guy took something that he thought was a bunch of shards, didn't know there was a Avodah Zarah in it, therefore he can give it back. So Malay Rava, Reisha Mishum De'ika Mekachtot, Sefer Le'ika Mekachtot. So Rava says in both cases, the Mekachtot, he didn't want to buy Avodah Zarah. Alamar Rava. Rava says, Reisha V'Sefer Mekachtot. In both cases, the Mekachtot, which means, by the way, that really the entire transaction should be null and void, and he should be able to give everything back. But why can't he in the second case? Reisha Lo Yaiv Zuzi. In the first case, he didn't yet give money. So Lo Mechzik Avodah Kochav Miyad Yisrael. It does not look to the onlooker as if we have a Avodah Zarah in the hands of Yisrael that he's now selling back, if it were, to the non-Jew. Sefer, Yaiv Zuzi. But in the Sefer, he already gave money. Mechzik Avodah Kochav Miyad Yisrael. And that means that we're prohibiting it not because it's essential to his, but because a decree or a concern of Marita Ayin. Now, Abaye, who wants to defend the position that Mekachtot only applies in the first case, says, Amar Lacha, Reisha Mekachtot Lo Yada. After all, he didn't see it yet. He didn't take possession. The guy represented it as a bunch of shards. Tahalo Yoiv Lezuzi, and he didn't yet give the money. Seif Allah Mekachtot. The Seif is not a Mekachtot. Why? It's a real essential issue of him owning it. Kevin, do Yoiv Zuzi, since he gave the money, Kikomashach, Ibai Leyuni, Vahadim Mimshach, he should have looked at it before he took possession. If he just took possession, didn't yet give money, so you can argue that he was going to take a look at it. But once he already gave money, he should have looked at it before he took possession. And therefore, it's as if he said, I'll take it sight unseen, as is. And therefore, it's not a mekach ta'ut. Now, Rav Ashi has a third take. Midureisha Mashicha in Akona, Sefanam Mashicha in Akona. He says, Mashicha is not the player here. It's only Maot. We go back to our original position against Amemar, which is that Maot is the only kinyan that's happening here. And Mashicha doesn't matter. Mashiach is only mentioned in the Seifa because a parallel construction to the Reisha, but it's really irrelevant here. And the point is that even though he took Mashiach, if he didn't yet pay, then he can give it back. Ravina Amar, he says the opposite. I mean, the Seifa Mashiach Kona, Reisha not Mashiach Kona. And this seems to follow with Amemar's position that Mashiach works, and you could interpret it this way too. Mashicha always works. For Reisha Hachikamar, what did it mean in the Reisha? Im lo natan velo mashach, meaning if he didn't give money and didn't take Mashicha, that's what it means. Yachzor, then he can go back on it. So my Yachzor, what's to go back on? You didn't do anything to go back on, to renege on. The answer is Yachzor bidvarim. If he made an oral commitment, he can go back on it. So Kesava, Ravina must hold, Dvarim yesh ba'em mishum chusrei amanah. That going back on your word is considered to be an act of faithlessness. And could possibly earn you to be under the edict of Mishapara, take a look at Bar Metzia, the fifth parak, of somebody who does not live up to their words. Bahani Mili, but why doesn't it happen here? Yisrael, Yisrael. That's only when a Jew makes a commitment to another Jew. The Kaim B'Diburayu, they know that they're going to stick to their word, so when you don't stick to your word, you're violating that trust. Aval Yisrael, but Migoy, when you buy from a non-Jew, Dino Lo Kaim B'Diburayu, they don't stick to their word, so lo, then it doesn't apply, and therefore he is perfectly in his rights to renege on his words in this case. Okay, we'll pause at this point, pick it up with the second Mishnah on the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.